Welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, where we look at the latest comics and other media featuring the Transformers. In this episode, we're reviewing Cobra Commander number 4. We've got Transformers 1 news, and Skybound has some free comic book day news. Today is Friday, April 19th, 2024, and this is episode 386 of Transmissions Alt Mode.
Welcome to Transmissions Alt Mode, the podcast that is thankful to the Deadpool and Wolverine movie for distracting us from the Transformers 1 movie. It's crept up on us so fast, and we're pretty excited. I'm your host, Daryl, the Cybertronian Beast, and I'm joined by the excellent Transmissions team of Jeremy.
Hello. I showed up.
Hey.
I'm happy to be here.
Let's
talk some Transformers and more.
we've got actual media news in this show today.
CinemaCon happened last week, so yeah.
We've got a review and other. we'll get the review out of the way, and then we'll move on to, you know, actual Transformers discussion. So, yeah.
There's more G.I. Joe stuff in your media news, too. So,
I mean, I'm going to glaze over that pretty hard. So, before we get to that, we've got to talk about our Donatrions. We love our Donatrions. And if you want to be one, you can join up at on our website, transmissionspodcast.com/Donatrion. /support. I don't remember what.
How many years have we been doing this?
Oh my God. How many times have I done it? That's the problem. How many times have I done
it? Not many.
Yeah. So transmissionspodcast.com/support, and you can join and become one of the famed Donatrions that we have. Join our Patreon. And there's a bunch of different levels. And we have a whole bunch of people that chat with us during the show. Not this show. It is embargoed, so this is being recorded in the future. The book is not out yet, so we had to do this on our own. But if you were listening to the toy show earlier on in the week, we had a whole bunch of people in the chat on that one, and we were talking and chatting with them while we were recording. It was quite fun. So you can get in on that fun by joining the Donatrions.
They also got see when we had to take a short little research break in mid-show.
That's right. That's right. We're just researching something unrelated, completely unrelated to the show, because we come in prepared to the show. We know our stuff inside and out. But something came across our desk, and we thought, you know what? That would be interesting to know more about. Yeah. So we just did a little search, and we learned something while we were recording. We just took a little break for research.
That never makes it into the final version.
So. No. We nobody needs to see us learn. So. We're going to go on. We have some other special shows. We do these shows and they're fun and they're free, but there's another show that we do called We Like Big Bots. And that's me with Dr. Pants, and him and I get together and talk about a character and all the different iterations of that character that we have or own in different toy form. And it's pretty fun. There are currently 12 episodes of that up and available for everyone to listen to if you are a Donatrion, and that is somebody who's on our Patreon. So if you are a contributor to our Patreon, you get these shows for free, they are available to you. They're pretty fun. There is a couple new shows that just got recorded, so be on the lookout. If you are a Donatrion, you can get in there and hear the new shows. They're going to get edited real soon because they just got recorded last night.
They are fresh. So
give me some time, but I got to put those together. So yeah, but that'll be fun. Got some new characters that we're going to talk about, and some pretty cool toys too. So, and the other show we've got is one that's been going on for a long, long time. It's put together by our editor, Mike. And it is Empire of Rust, and they're just starting their third season, and it's a wonderful show by all accounts. Jeremy loves it. I mean, he listens to every episode, so it's one of his favorite shows. I think he's listening to it right now.
I have every episode downloaded. And if you'd see in our notes, the information that didn't make it to the Toy Show doc is in here.
Oh, okay. That's good. I will read that now. So it says here, season 3 of Empire of Rust continues. Uncut bonus episode 113, Dare to be Swampy, is out now on Patreon. The regular version will be out on Monday, April 22nd. There you go.
Transmissionspodcast.com/rust.
Oh, I didn't know if I had to read the link.
Yeah. But yeah, it's great. The Donatrions get the full unedited version, and then, you know, their research moments are cut out as well and into the free version.
That's right. And that's at http://transmissionspod/ Oh, is it forward slash? I don't internet well.
I'm not going to correct you on many things, but I hate it when people say backslash for that.
/// transmissionspodcast.com/rust.
Yes.
So there you go.
This is what happens when Charles isn't here.
Yep. Charles would let me say backslash.
No, I don't think he would.
moving on, because this is a train wreck. So we have still available a few copies of our Transformers number one from Skybound exclusive cover with art by EJ Sue. This is I have one right here, and there you go. This is a first printing. If you are looking for a first printing, it is available at our website, transmissionspodcast.com. Is it /comic?
Yes, /comic.
There you go.
/comic.
Right. So yeah, it's $15 plus shipping and handling. And, I think you can still combine it with the old Till All,
Have some of those old ones.
Till All or One. Yeah, we still have some of those. So we can combine it with that if you want to get two comics for one low price.
I think it's $5 for the old one.
Yeah. Yep. But yeah, so get in on that if you want. It's a great art. And if you have been reading the story, then you may want to get in on the Starscream art because may not be seeing that much longer. Anyway, we also have a 15% discount with Toy Hacks. They are an amazing company to get you some new stickers for your toys. And you can use the code Springer. That is like the character and the season with an er on the end. You can get on that website, use the code Springer. It saves you 15% off. And it can be used with your Robo points, but cannot be combined with any other discounts or promotions. Toy Hacks is a wonderful company. We've worked with them for a number of years, and they give us prizes to give away once a month. So you can, if you are part of our Donatrion, then you are entered in the draw every single month for free, and you don't have to worry about it. If you aren't part of our Donatrions, you can just write us an email and
contest at transmissionspodcast.com.
Right, and we will put you in the drawing for that $10 off coupon. So yeah, and that's just for the 1 month. Yeah, so you'd have to do it every month if you want, but yeah, anyway, Toy Hacks,
join the Donatrion,
or just join the Donatrion. It's easy. That's all of the mumbo jumbo. Let's move on to some stuff that is not the comic review yet. We're going to talk about comic news.
All right. We have some more updates from Skybound on their free comic book day special. This is three additional covers, which are
free.
These are free? No, I don't think these are. These are going to be coming later printings. So we have here one with Baroness, one with, is that Hawk or no? Flint.
Some G.I. Joe guy.
Flint and Lady J. Sorry. And then we have one with Hot Rod. I'm guessing he's Hot Rod in this form. Or Rodimus.
I might be able to get that one.
Yeah. And this is a very animation-esque. I mean, it looks like, you know, he's in Unicron from the movie. Mm-hmm. So very cool. The credits, I'm not sure who did what, but we have cover artists Tom Riley, Stephen Green, and Kerry Randolph. So one of them did one of each of these. And I think they're all really good. I think, you know, they all are very expressive, very detailed. The colors and stuff on the Transformer one is just great.
It is. And I want to point out, Free Comic Book Day is the first Saturday in May. And this year it does fall on May the 4th. So that is a day for a certain dorks out there that that do like to get together and talk about Harry Potter, I believe. So this Free Comic Book Day will have a copy of this book for free.
Yes.
You can pick up this book for free, and it has a completely different cover. So we've talked about it before. We've shown off that cover before. But as Skybound does, they are going to release additional printings with additional covers, and those will not be free.
Yeah.
So this is going to be the exact same book that you can get on Free Comic Book Day, but it's not going to be free anymore.
Just like every other Skybound thing, they are not afraid of taking your money.
No, and they do it aggressively. Yeah.
I'm so going to get this other cover up so we can see it.
Mm-hmm. And the Free Comic Book Day cover does have Transformers on it. Yeah, there it is. Yeah. It's got Megatron. And that is a badass Megatron. And is that Ryan Ottley?
Yes.
That is a Ryan Ottley Megatron. And that is amazing. He is a stellar superstar artist. He recently just did a Spider-Man run, amazing Spider-Man run. He was an artist, the main artist on Walking Dead for a number of years. I think he was on Hulk right now. I can't remember what he's on right now. But yeah, superstar artist Ryan Ottley is on the actual Free Comic Book Day edition of this. Yeah. So highly looking forward to getting this one.
He's doing the interior art on one of these.
Oh, cool.
He's credited as an interior artist on this too.
Nice.
So I'm not sure which of the three stories he's doing, but I'm guessing probably the Robert Kirkman one, Void Rivals. If you said he worked on Walking Dead.
Well, I mean, he did, but I mean, he's also drawing a Transformer on the cover too. So he might be doing the Transformer cover or the Transformer story. Anyway, I'm looking forward to checking this out just because I want to see the Ryan Ottley art. Read the Transformers story. I could care less about the G.I. Joe stories. They sound stupid.
All right. Well, next up we have a preview of Transformers number 8, and we have some covers here. I'm not going to really get into the preview pages, but, we've got lots of covers here. It's looking like we're going to get some more Cybertron stuff. So looking forward to seeing what's coming up. Right, also, one more issue number 8 cover that we forgot to mention in the last story is there's going to be an Alex Milne exclusive here. It's at CBNSExclusives.com, and it looks like it's limited to $750. It's going to run $20, and it's a great image here of Optimus and Cliffjumper facing off against all the Decepticons. I kind of wish Cliffjumper was just flipping him the bird as a reference. I mean, that would have been awesome, but not cover material.
when Alex first showed me this image, that's exactly what I showed him. Or I told him, I said, could you have made it with the Cliffjumper just flipping him off with both fingers? He's like, I don't think that would have been on the cover.
Yeah, I mean, that's not really cover material.
Yeah.
But yeah, but this is awesome. It's great.
Yeah. on that page there, scroll down to the bottom.
Oh, yeah. Andrew Waldman, Scarlet?
Yeah.
Scarlet number one.
There you go. So. Scoopy, scoop, scoop.
So Scarlet number one is going to have an Andrew Waldman exclusive, and that looks fantastic too.
Yeah, for a G.I. Joe cover, sure. It's fine.
So anyway, yeah, this is great. You can get the number eight plus the ratios, the 110, 125, and 150 for $80. A bargain, maybe.
Maybe. Yeah.
I don't know. But anyway, it's great. So he's had, you know, he had a number seven cover and now number eight.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully we can start seeing him on some of the more retail, like the non-exclusive ones.
Mm-hmm. It definitely shows that people miss him on the book. And they're like, we can get him on the book now? Oh, yeah. Let's do it. Number seven, number eight. What comes after that? Oh, 9, 10? Let's do it.
Yeah, because when we got number one, they just had a list of artists and we had to put in our preference. And they're like, well, EJ Sue's the only person that's done Transformers in the past, and we were lucky to get him.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Well, that's all our comic news.
All right, then. Well, let's move on to media news. I know that we've got a comic review coming up, but let's not do that yet.
You're hyping that comic review.
I am not. I am trying not to. Maybe we'll just run out of time and we'll just skip it. We'll just skip that thing. Let's do some media news. All right. First thing in media news, we've got the official release of the Transformers 1 logo. And, okay. It says Transformers 1 in large letters.
You didn't see the animation.
Oh, I did. I've seen it. It just kind of comes out of a bunch of different places and kind of forms a one. Yeah. Yeah. Amazing. I don't know if I've called it a logo. It's just the title sequence, I guess. But yeah, I don't know. Whatever. It says Transformers 1. I don't know. This qualifies as news.
It's using the same Cybertronian font that everyone else is using and that we've used forever. It's just got some details inside the lettering.
Yep. But the real news out of this was the next story, and that is the trailer for this is coming up. We're going to get the trailer for Transformers 1. I'm assuming it's going to be the teaser trailer, maybe not the full trailer. But this is going to come out
yesterday.
I love being current. I love it that we're so current. So hold on to your hats because it's already happened.
If it happened, it's a rumor still.
Right.
The 18th.
Yeah. They're not saying anything that, about where it's going to hit first, but I mean, as soon as it hits, it'll be on YouTube, right? So just be on the lookout for a link on you know, your social media and stuff. Media people were in attendance at CinemaCon this past week, and they went over a bit of a synopsis of the movie and a little bit of they got shown a scene from the movie as well, which is pretty cool. So I want to go over this synopsis and just kind of mention what they wrote here just for people who are kind of interested. This has been a long time coming. So any little bit of information is nice. And, I'm glad to see that we've got some, but if you don't want to know about it, then just kind of skip ahead. You'll be spoiler free still, but I don't think there's really any spoilers in this. From what we've been told, the story is all new. It's not tied to any previous movie, show, or game. It's an origin story for Optimus and Megatron. It starts with Optimus and Megatron making friends as Orion and D-16, and that's a big throwback to Megatron's toy, the Takara numbering, as he was Destron number 16. So kudos to them for pulling that out of the air. Both characters are worker type bots who live completely underground on Cybertron. Neither of them can transform. They connect with Bumblebee, who's called B127.
Not a Takara numbering.
No, not a Takara numbering. So that's brought over from the Bumblebee movie. And the three attempt to escape upwards to the surface of Cybertron. They meet Alita One, who wants to turn them in, and a visually impressive chase sequence happens, including on top of a moving train in the sky. They eventually gain the ability to transform. Music from the Rolling Stones was played during the montage sequence. Their faces are human-like, less robotic. So in my mind, when I hear this, I imagine Andrew Wildman's art in the latter half of the original G1 Marvel series, and maybe some of the stuff in the Regeneration 1 series, the comic book series. They were all done very human-like. Cybertron is a vibrant and busy, not war-torn. There is a lot of comedy going on, especially from Bumblebee. And if you remember, Keegan Michael Key plays Bumblebee, so that checks out. The clip caps out with them making it up to the top and seeing their first sunset. Bumblebee tries to get Alita One to join them. They are on a quest to find Sentinel Prime and the Matrix of Leadership. Another note here is added that Chris Hemsworth, who again voices Optimus Prime, is using an American accent for Optimus and is not Thoramus Prime. So everyone who was worried about Optimus being Australian, you can put that aside. He's not going to be Australian. He's going to have a North American accent.
If anyone really believes that, need to start thinking more critically.
So Transformers 1, if you have forgotten, is set to hit theaters September 13th this year. So a few months away. And like I mentioned in the intro, I completely forgot about it because I'm so wrapped up in the Deadpool Wolverine movie that this thing has been sneaky coming up on us here. So, yeah, it's Deadpool Wolverine in July and then this, boom, in September. So.
I'm really looking forward to this. I want something completely different, and it seems like this is going to be right up my alley.
Yeah, I'm excited for this as well. You know, they only mentioned, they mentioned, I think, five characters in that synopsis, and we've got announcements for six. So there's some stuff there that they're not telling us so far, and I'm glad. Like, I don't want to know all the story. We still don't really know what the characters look like. We have a story coming up where we kind of have some idea about what Optimus might look like. But I am also in the same boat as you. I'm really looking forward to this. An animated Transformers movie in the theaters is right up my alley.
And we've never really seen any significant Golden Age of Cybertron stuff on screen. I mean, we've seen bits and pieces here and there.
Yeah.
But it seems like this is going to be mostly during that. I mean, don't know. I'm sure Megatron is going to have a falling out with Orion at some point. Because that, I mean, seems like that would happen.
That's, that seems plausible. What are your thoughts on the... do you think this is going to be like a trilogy?
I would hope
the next one will be called Transformers 2.
I was just thinking that. Yeah. What I would like to see, because, you know, see the logo here is nice and gold colored.
Yep.
What if that degrades with every one in the trilogy?
Oh, like the Invincible show on Amazon.
It gets like tarnished and everything. So Transformers 2 is a little bit more, a little bit worse. And then Transformers 3 would be just a wreck. Yeah.
That's what they did with the Invincible show, is every episode it got more and more bloody.
I never watched it.
You should watch it. It's pretty
bad. I know.
You'd like it. Maybe you wouldn't. It's pretty violent.
No, I mean, I like violence, but I got too much other stuff to watch. I mean, I just saw that last episode of Bluey this morning. I mean, oh, man.
Oh, man. It blew you away.
Yeah. Hey, you got a three-year-old. You should be watching
Bluey. I know. I turn it off. I don't want to watch Bluey. Anyway, we're going to move on to the next thing here. We've got an official movie announcement from CinemaCon that the Transformers and G.I. Joe crossover is officially happening. My daughter sent me a message on like Snapchat or some crap system that she uses. And she's like, look at this. Did you know this was happening? And I said, yes, everyone knew this was happening. It was in the last movie, but I'm glad to see that it's officially happening because, I mean, they've done stuff in the live action movies that has not panned out. They have not done it. I mean, Unicron was part of the Earth in one of them, and that's gone, right? So, you know, there's a whole bunch of stuff in the Michael Bay movies that just kind of got forgotten about. I'm glad to see that they're moving ahead with this. G.I. Joe, for, you know, everything that I give it is tied to Transformers right now in the comics, might as well tie it to them in the movie universe as well. It makes perfect sense. Everything's going to work together. The comics and the movies are going to be not a shared universe, but they're going to work together to kind of, you know, boost both the franchises, and G.I. Joe needs the help.
Oh, yeah. I was about to say that. I mean, these days it's not like the 80s where it was easier to have like a clear cut, you know, good versus bad type thing. These days, G.I. Joe is having a much harder time getting any kind of fiction going. Mm-hmm. Off the bat, I mean, Larry Hama's book is basically, I mean, the only G.I. Joe fiction that has carried on. But tying it to Transformers and that brief little bit we saw from the end of Rise of the Beast, I think there is a hook there that they can work with, and similarly to what we're seeing in the comics with the Cybertron and Energon stuff being the crux of what is going to be the formation of G.I. Joe. So I'm very much looking forward to seeing what they do here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. No, it'll be good. And I hope they cast it right and do it justice. So, cause the last G.I. Joe movies were not great.
I mean, they're popcorn flicks. If you don't want to about it
too. What I understood, I couldn't, I mean, even on my worst day, I didn't want to watch Snake Eyes. So
I kind of did watch it on my worst day. I think I was like homesick. It was okay.
Moving on. Okay. We have some more stuff here. We've got a possible first look at the Transformers 1 Optimus Prime popcorn bucket. Popcorn buckets, thematic popcorn buckets are a thing now. We've got an image here that is, taken. Some guy had their picture taken and they're like, I'm not really taking a picture of you. I'm taking a picture of that popcorn bucket with the no camera beside it. And, anyway, we've got this picture of Optimus Prime, which looks an awful lot like, Energon Optimus Prime, 'cause he's so fat. Mm-hmm. I think all the parts are here to kind of see what, you know, Transformers 1 Optimus is going to look like. But, because it's such a big, chubby popcorn bucket, you can't really, see the details and what he's going to kind of look like as a figure. But it's red and blue and has an Optimus Prime head. So, you know, it's Optimus Prime. So that's what it kind of looks like. I'm just glad it doesn't have the Dune look on it. So, yeah. You know, it has that, doesn't have those like tentacles and stuff. So it's kind of nuts.
I mean, but you heard what Kevin Feige said about the Deadpool one.
Yeah.
He said it's going to be designed by Deadpool. So we'll see if it gives the Dune one a run for its money.
I've seen the mock-up of what they want it to look like, and it just, I mean, it just looks horrendous. So, but anyway, let's see how that kind of works out. It's pretty big.
Yeah. Here we have another picture with the cup and everything.
That's right. Up next on the list of things to talk about is the merchandise, which includes the popcorn bucket and a cup and more things. So, yeah, we're going to have the popcorn bucket, but we're also going to have like this cup and like little toys and jazz and stuff like that to kind of, you know, buy and sell at the theater. People are going to be after the popcorn bucket. That's pretty much it. You might have a couple kids want the cup with the straw. The little figures look like they're just kind of like statues. They're not, you know, they're little, you know, immovable toys, but there might be some like alt mode things behind them. You can't really see the Optimus one, but the Bumblebee one is looks an awful lot like the video game version. Yeah. of Bumblebee, his alt mode, where it's kind of like this slick, you know, kind of yellow car looking thing. If you have like the you know, the Fall of Cybertron or War for Cybertron Bumblebee, it looks a lot like that. Just, I can't tell if it has wheels. It doesn't look like it has any wheels. And then anyway, the last thing we have here in media news is, a 3 meter tall Bumblebee movie cake.
Oh, hold on a second, Daryl.
Yeah.
That's about 9.84 feet.
Perfect. Well done. This cake is enormous. I'm impressed that it's a cake. It's also ugly as hell. I mean, as long as it tastes good, right? Like, that's all the whole point. Thing is huge.
Yeah. It's like for some contest show.
Yeah. The, what was it here? Does it say, International Cake Show Australia 2024. Yeah. And, it's today, the day that we're recording this, April the 14th, was the end of the show. So it's already done and eaten. I hope they get to eat these things at the end. Like, they just have a massive party and they just eat all the cake.
Yeah, I don't know. I would hope so.
Yeah. Anyway, that's the end of media news. Let's move on. I mean, that's probably the end of the show, I guess. I don't have anything else. We got
some feedback.
We got feedback. Okay, let's go into feedback then. No, I'm kidding. We still have some time. Let's go into the review, I guess.
All right, we are reviewing Cobra Commander number 4 this week, much to Daryl's chagrin. And this is written by Joshua Williamson, artist by Andrea Milana, colorist Annalisa Leone, letterer Russ Wooten, editor Sean Makowitz, logo and publication design Andreas Suarez, and production Jillian Crabb. As always, our review is a spoiler-filled review, so if you have not read it and you want to avoid spoilers, look in the time codes for the next section of the show, but this will be full spoilers. So, in the aftermath of the Dreadnought massacre by Nemesis Enforcer, Cobra Commanders drags Ripper, one of the few surviving Dreadnoughts, to their secret underground bunker. He orders Ripper to open it up while Ripper begs for his life. Commander descends into the bunker, to find the scientists that the Dreadnoughts have been keeping prisoner. The scientist thinks his captors have returned, and he begs not to be hurt again, but then he realizes that the commander is not one of the Dreadnoughts. The commander lets the scientist believe that he's there to save him and asks him what he's been doing there, and the scientist begins to tell his tale. Above ground, Nemesis Enforcer is finishing off the remaining Dreadnoughts. Torch is taken out while Buzzers, Zorana, and Xandar hide in the woods, trying to make a plan for escape. Xandar thinks that they can use the Energon as an explosive weapon to distract the monster and escape, but Buzzer asks how they can do it, or how they can get to the Energon with the flying monster in between them. Xandar cruelly shoves Buzzer out into the open, providing the distraction he needs. Buzzer tries to attack Nemesis Enforcer with his chainsaw, but he's no match. Nemesis Enforcer grabs Buzzer by the arm, lifts him to the air, crushing his wrist. Then he drops him into the lake. This is the time Xandar needs to get a sample of Energon while Zorana tries to rescue the injured Torch and Buzzer. Xandar fashions a makeshift Molotov cocktail with a bottle of liquid Energon and throws it into the air at Nemesis Enforcer, then shoots it with his pistol. The Energon explodes in Nemesis Enforcer's face, giving the remaining Dreadnoughts time to get on the River Fan boat and escape. Nemesis is annoyed but lets them escape since they're not important for the commander's mission. Back in the bunker, the scientist explains what he's been doing with Energon. The Dreadnoughts harvest the pure Energon from the swamp, and the scientist was able to refine it into a usable energy source. And on top of that, he was able to dilute the pure Energon with other radiation energy sources to expand it and generate more. The commander asks him to show him how, and the scientist takes a small sample, then processes it in the machine, creating a stable cube of Energon. The commander takes out his insectoid drones and allows them to consume the refined Energon, and the result supercharges his little bugs into even deadlier weapons. The commander is impressed and pleased that he has completed his mission for Golobulus and Cobra Law. The scientist slowly realizes that he's only traded one captor for another. The commander emerges from the bunker to find Ripper and Nemesis Enforcer waiting for him. The commander tells him the mission was a success. They can use the scientist and the Energon to build weapons and an army to take over the world. They'll also use Ripper to help them, and now they can return to Cobra Law triumphant, but Nemesis doesn't move. Commander is confused as to why Nemesis Enforcer refuses to follow his orders. Then Nemesis shoves him harshly to the ground. Ripper sees there's the fight that's coming and decides he doesn't need to be caught in the middle and runs off. The commander finally realizes that the situation has changed. Now that they've found the Energon, Nemesis Enforcer's mission is to ensure that Cobra Commander does not survive. Commander struggles to comprehend the betrayal as Nemesis begins his assault. Nemesis gloats that the commander, a mere human, is pathetic and was never worthy of Cobra Law. Golobulus saw through the commander's manipulations and never planned to elevate an outsider human into the ranks of Cobra Law. Now that they have the Energon and the scientist, they don't need them anymore. Commander retreats into the woods and finds Buzzer's abandoned chainsaw. He grabs it and tries to fight back, but Nemesis Enforcer easily blocks his attack. He grabs Cobra Commander by the head and rips his helmet off, despite the electrified booby trap. Cobra Commander staggers to his knees and begs for Nemesis to just take him home and let him explain to Golobulus. But Nemesis angrily continues his attack, declaring that Cobra Law was never his home. He grabs the commander, flies into the air, and slams him to the ground. Somehow, the commander is still alive and conscious. On the ground, Cobra Commander says weakly that he will not just lay down and die, so Nemesis tells him to run for his life. Cobra Commander struggles to his feet and declares he will not run from anyone. Nemesis flies up into the air and charges back to Earth, planning to strike with the final killing blow, but Cobra Commander stands his ground. He tells Nemesis that he planned for this possibility, and he takes out his insectoid drones, and they transform into an armored gauntlet around his hand with an energy weapon at the center. He takes a vial of refined Energon and loads it into his new hand cannon, then raises his open palm to the sky at the dive-bombing Nemesis Enforcer and fires. Even Nemesis Enforcer cannot withstand the beam of pure energy ripping through him. Later, Cobra Commander catches up with the fleeing Dreadnought Ripper. He's not done with him yet. He tells Ripper that he'll need weapons in an army, so he'll start with the people of the, that the Dregnox sold the Energon to. He asked Ripper for that information, and Ripper's in no shape to resist. So he immediately tells him that the guy that they sold the Energon to is named Destro. To be continued. So this was pretty enjoyable. Lots of action. So, Daryl, hopefully you were happy with action.
We'll see.
There was some Energon, Transformer-y stuff. The Cover Commander's little insect things look like the Insecticons. I mean, maybe he will have invented the Insecticons. I'm sure you love that. But, I mean, on the whole, I enjoyed this. I liked seeing that he was betrayed, as we all expected, but this Cover Commander is not the coward that we've seen in other mediums. He stands his ground. He's smart. He used what he learned just a few minutes before and was able to defeat Nemesis Enforcer. And, now we're kind of seeing where the plot lines in Duke and Cover Commander are coming together. So I'm really enjoying this. I thought the art was really good. And I'm happy to see kind of the end to Nemesis Enforcer kind of plot here, and want to see where it goes as he finds Destro and that pairing that, you know, we're used to. You know, we get to see the beginning of that. So, Daryl, what were your thoughts on this?
Well, one, I wanted to, I had to double back and find out, where they got the word, Energon from. Cause in the previous issue, the Dreadnoughts were referring to it as the juice or that, glowy stuff or something like that. They called it the juice though. And the previous issue was essentially just Cobra Commander and, the other guy just walking around.
Nemesis Enforcer.
Yeah, him. They were just kind of walking around, kind of trying to, you know, make their way to this camp. So they didn't really talk about it very much. And I didn't double check issue one, but had they called it Energon in issue one? I don't think
they did, but I assume that he got that information from Megatron.
Okay. Because that, if that's true, I'm pulling at all of these little things that I'm like, how are they coming up with the name of the item that they shouldn't know any information about? I agree that the art was good. I enjoyed the art. I thought it was, well done. It fit the tone of the book. This, from what I remember, the description was supposed to be like a horror comic.
It started out that way.
Yeah, I don't find it very horror-esque, but, I did enjoy the fight sequence in this. Like, the whole book was fighting, and that's really my jam. So I enjoyed the fighting in this. I liked how Nemesis Enforcer was almost unstoppable. Almost. I do appreciate how, Cobra Commander, kind of positioned himself as the hero to this scientist. And, he's not. I don't know whether the scientist is supposed to be important to, G.I. Joe lore. He's not Dr. Archival. So, I mean, he's not a Transformer scientist.
I was kind of hoping that would be who they had.
Right. The Insecticons or whatever they are, these drones, they're new. They're something that's not in any kind of previous Transformers technology, unless you count like the Michael Bay universe. Mm-hmm. So they seem to be, you know, something of a bit of an interest, but, they kind of combine into this gauntlet. There's no real precedent for them. There's no real canon for a bunch of smaller bots becoming, you know, Iron Man armor for another, you know, a human character. You know, there's something like a mech suit or something like that, because they did that in Headmasters, but there's nothing really like an Iron Man armor or anything like that. But it seems cool. It seems like it's a neat idea, but, this is definitely new. I want to see Cobra Commander's face. He tore off his mask. The one, guy, Ripper, said who his face looks like a vomit or something like that. Like he looks real beat up or looks terrible. What I could tell from, you know, it from all the bandages and whatnot on his face, he kind of gave off this like Batman vibe with his, with the lower half of his face, uncovered. But, other than that, I mean, the book was fine. I enjoyed it. It was exciting enough with the fighting and then the scientists and stuff. I need some more, because if this is the Energon universe, obviously it has Energon in it. I need that question answered. How did they? And Charles would probably know this, and he'd be like, "Daryl, you idiot! They talked about it in issue one on panel 17."
I just found it in the wiki. Issue 2 was the first time a non-Cybertronian referred to Energon by its name, but it says how Cobra Law knows what it's called is unknown, but perhaps Megatron told them.
Right. I looked at issue 2, and all I saw them say it was call it the juice. That's all I. So maybe I missed it. So anyway, that does bother me how they just are coming up with the proper names for these items. Mm-hmm. I guess that's small potatoes. I enjoyed the issue though. Not enough to buy it, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah. I'm wondering, I had the thought when Cobra Commander got that robotic hand thing, is that going to tie in with Void Rivals somehow in the future with Handroid? Like, if his
are becomes, these like, running it concurrently? Or is the timeline the same? Like,
I think they're around the same time, but I mean, I was just thinking at some point they're going to link up, and if his becomes like has an AI or something on it, eventually I could see it being like Handroid getting jealous or something. I don't know. It was just the first thing I thought when I saw, robotic hand. We had seen that in Void Rivals.
Sure.
But, all right, well, that is our review of issue 4, Cobra Commander, and we'll move on now. Okay.
All right, I guess we're going to move on. And we've got, we do have some feedback, so we will move on to feedback.
All right, so we have from YouTube, from the last episode, 385, the Rev Nation, who's been commenting a lot on our videos, said, "Damn, there's no satisfying Daryl. He truly is the Cybertronian beast." With your complaints about the stamped logos and stuff.
I've been complaining about those for years. That drives me insane.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that once you see them, you can't unsee that stuff. And
yeah. Well, and we also have from Scott Contois, I believe. He says, in regards to your chief complaint, Daryl, take a peek at More Than Meets the Eye, issue 16, page 3. You'll know it when you see it. I think we've been commenting about these all throughout. I mean, IDW did it too.
They did. Yep.
And that
16 page 3, he said.
Yeah.
I'll have to look that up.
So, I mean, I imagine maybe there was like a rush job or something, or maybe it was a different artist. I mean, Alex Milne didn't do the whole run.
That's right.
And then we have also from Scott saying that this was his favorite issue yet of Transformers number 7. Complimented the art and also said that the comics slowed down to tell a bit more of a story. And each issue up to this point has been nonstop action in my face without slowing down. But it's a damn good issue. And then, I agree. It was nice to kind of have that little bit. It's always nice to have a breather after big action, plots. And the Rev Nation also commented again saying that his complaint was that they're making Transformers way too easy to kill. And he's having a hard time understanding how it's going to be a long-term series when they're killing off so many legacy characters. And he asked what our opinion is of the high kill count.
Oh.
And I don't know. I think that they're going to, they're obviously bringing some back. So they're going to have to figure out a good way of justifying bringing some of these characters back. Like Starscream in the last, I guess we didn't see a body, so we don't know necessarily if he's dead. But Bumblebee from the first issue. There's no way this is going to sustain a really long run, and they're not going to bring Bumblebee back. Mm-hmm. So how are they going to do it? That they just need to figure out a logical way of doing it. What was your thought?
Transformers has an insane roster of characters. So, I would like to see them, get through some of those B, C, D level characters. Mm-hmm. Like you said, if you don't see a body, it's not dead. But even in that, Transformers can be brought back with, in the movie, they are brought back with a life-giving ooze that brings back Ultra Magnus. There's a lot of ways that they can bring them back. So I can definitely see them finding ways to bring characters back. Bumblebee's an interesting one because he was like executed,
Right.
Like, yeah. I wanted to, I like, and I think we've got more feedback coming up with, going to mention this a bit, but that is one thing that kind of got me with the past series, the IDW series, is that it seemed like they wouldn't kill anybody. And there, I remembered one issue specifically, and it was written so well. I was so happy that it was a Transformers issue because it was so poignant. It was the one where Cyclonus, blocked or kind of covered for, Tailgate and took all the bullets or whatever, took all the shots for him, and like his back was all destroyed and he kind of died, right? And that was why the issue ended. And then in the next issue, he's up and walking around again. I'm like, what the fuck? You guys had the perfect issue right there. You killed him off, and you killed him off with meaning, right? Mm-hmm. And it beautiful, right? And no, it meant nothing. And he was right back, repaired the next issue.
Well, I mean, you're an X-Men ringer, right?
That I do.
So in the run that's coming to an end, they were able to like bring the X-Men back from the dead pretty easily. What is your thought on that? And how did it, do you feel like it cheapened their actions or was just a convenient way for a writer to kind of get a character back to a point?
It did. They found a way to use it to like their advantage. I remember reading a story where they would send, I think it was Mystique in on like a most definite suicide mission. Right. But when, cause they weren't, they were cloning them essentially.
Yeah.
Right. These, they weren't just resurrecting them. They were cloning them and implanting these clones with their memories. So at a certain point, they had this kind of backup system that they could back up their memories on. So essentially, if she failed, they just made another one and sent that in and tried to do it. And they kept doing it until she succeeded. And I think she did it like four times until she actually got it right. Yeah. So, I mean, they worked within the confines of the system that they created for themselves. And, it was interesting for a while, but yeah, the stakes were very low. They kind of made it seem like, okay, well, you know, we're also giving the regular, you know, Homo sapiens the abilities to kind of like heal themselves, like really, you know, powerful medicines and stuff like that. But that all got taken away too. They took that away in near the end. It was an interesting storyline. I'm glad it's kind of over because it was getting a little crazy. They were living on Mars or something like that too. It was kind of nuts.
Yeah, I feel like if there's any fiction where a system like that would make sense, it would be Transformers, since they're all robots. Maybe they'll have something similar to that, where there's a system like Teletran 1 has some backups that they're able to use.
They're all floppy disks. They all have to be floppy disks, though.
Yeah. All right. Well, we have one more from YouTube I'm going to read. This is from Latch, and he said that the podcast version of this episode got cut short during the review. And I wanted to address that. I'm sorry. The upload to our podcast hosting, something happened. It's fixed now. If you re-download it, you'll get the full length episode. But for whatever reason, when I was publishing the episode, it looked like things were good. And I played it on the website to make sure it worked. I didn't listen all the way through. And we fixed it the next day. And you know, I'm sorry. But, thankfully, the YouTube version was there, so he was able to comment. Yeah.
There you go.
So we have one more piece of feedback, and this is a voicemail. And if you'd like to leave us voicemail, go to transmissionspodcast.com/feedback, and there's a little widget there that'll let you do it, even from your phone, and you can just leave us a quick voicemail. And this one is from John Forex Levengood, one of our Masterpiece Donatrions.
Hey guys, John 4X Levengood here. So I just want to leave some comments on the new comic series. I am just now catching up to it. And while I have zero problems being spoiled by listening to the podcast, I finally got through the sixth issue, and I am really enjoying this. And this is coming from somebody who doesn't read comics very often. I enjoyed the IDW reboot Before the War series until the pandemic came around and my local comics book stores started shuttering left and right. But I did finally get all the episodes, all the issues of the current series, and number 7's on the way, and I'm looking forward to reading it. I enjoy it. The art's gritty, but for the most part, I was able to follow along. I enjoy the story. From your guys' reviews before, the violence is there, but I didn't personally notice it nearly as much. However, I do like the fact that there are stakes. Bots and people die. And that makes the story feel so much more real. So just my 2 cents, and I just wanted to let you guys know what's going on, and hopefully this catches you before the next episode. Bye.
Well, it did.
Yeah.
Barely. But yeah, it did. So this goes on to what we were talking about. And yeah, I mean, definitely on the human side, there are stakes.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you have to walk into the Matrix.
Yeah. I still need clarification on that. I need a little bit more information because that's a new one for me. So,
yeah,
you know.
But I mean, with the flashbacks Optimus is having, I'm sure there's going to be some explanation coming. John also, he mentioned his store shuttering, and he asked in our Discord, which you can go to transmissionspodcast.com/discord and join. He asked about if anyone knew like an online source to get comics, and I refer them to tfaw.com, which I've used in the past. And if you don't have a local comic book store, you can find them and set up a subscription with them to your comic, and they'll mail it to you.
Cool.
So,
right on. Yeah, and I'm glad that you're following along, John. And maybe look for some of those Alex Milne covers we were talking about earlier. They're you know, they got to order them from different spots, but get some great Alex Milne art. Jeremy, I want to make mention. I sent you a an image.
I'm opening it now.
The More Than Meets the Eye 16, page 3, that we were told to take a look at. Oh, yeah. that's terrible. That's doesn't even fit on the – oh, my God.
I mean, the black background around the Autobot logo, and it doesn't even match up with the figure's shape.
That's like they saw the art, and they're like, oh, this needs a stamp. It's like not even correct orientation. It's like it's not. They didn't even try. They didn't even try here. It's like he's an Autobot, right? Okay, stamp. Let's
see if I can make that bigger. Yeah, that's just that is the worst version of this I've ever seen.
Horrendous, and yeah, like if you see this and you notice it, you cannot unsee it ever. You notice it. It stands out.
At least
always.
At least with the last issue, the proportions and angles were pretty much there. It's just they were like so much cleaner than the rest of the bot.
Yeah, and that's what makes it kind of stand out, right? They make it so that it's supposed to be the right size and the right, you know, kind of, you know, orientation and whatnot, but the colors and the textures on it don't match, and it just kind of stands out like a sore thumb. But
yeah,
that one's horrible. Like that's like definitely the worst I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I don't even know if we were reviewing comics at that time when that issue came out.
Oh, when was that?
I don't know.
Hold on. Well, now we're going to have to look.
More Than Meets the Eye, issue 16.
Let's see.
Yeah, I don't know.
I am TFWikiing it right now. More Than Meets the Eye, where's the IDW publishing book? Issue 16, April 24th, 2013. That was before the podcast.
Yeah. There you go. Funny.
But even I would have noticed that even before you point stuff like that out.
It's crazy. I seem to remember us doing it starting around issue like 24 to 26 or something like that. That's.
I mean, okay. Even the wiki calls it out, saying the badge is looking a little crooked there, Mags. Because this is an Ultra Magnus, which if you're going to do any character...
Yeah. In More Than Meets the Eye too, right? Like he's so such a stickler. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. Good call. Who pointed that out to us?
Scott Contois.
Yeah, right. Good call, Scott. That's one for the records. That's for sure. All right. Well, that's going to do it for the show. And all right. Well, before we end, we always like to thank our Masterpiece Donatrions for being Masterpiece Donatrions, for coming up and supporting us, we have two, and we want to thank the aforementioned John Forex Levengood, who always seems to be the one, doing voicemails. Everybody can do them. You don't have to just be, John, you know, everybody can do a voicemail, you know, you want to call in or do a voicemail and support me in the No G.I. Joe campaign? No G.I. Joe. No G.I. Joe. No G.I. Yeah, that's that. I can get behind that. That'll work. you know, just go to our website, go over to the Contact Us tab, and you got a little widget right there on the website. You can use it on your mobile phone and just start recording. It's that easy. It really is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the other one is Demon Tech 82, and they are a great sim racer. I've watched some of his sims, and he does a great job racing on iRacing. So, yeah, great job, both of you. Thanks a lot for supporting us at the Masterpiece level. And maybe are we going to have to change the name of that since there's no Masterpiece anymore? Maybe we call it the MPG level?
They would have to combine.
Right, okay. but, yeah, again, thanks, guys, for supporting us at the Masterpiece Donatrion level. And, yeah, thanks again to Jeremy for being the only one who showed up and helped
out. Glad to be here. Thanks for Charles for doing the review.
Yeah, Charles did all the review work.
I mean, it was his week. He had to drop out at the last minute. But thankfully, the review was done, so I didn't have to scramble and write out something.
That's right. So. Right on. Well, again, thanks, guys, for watching and listening. And we will see you next week. Later.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Transmissions. If you'd like to join the conversation, travel to our Discord channel at transmissionspodcast.com/discord. Want some cool transmission swag? Feast your eyes on our transmissions gear at transmissionspodcast.com/shop. If you'd like to support our podcast, go to transmissionspodcast.com/support or tell your friends about our show. We'll see you next time.